Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family. This is Khadija Seven. I am your host. Welcome to A Wonderful Approach Radio. I am ever so happy to be here and so thankful I have everyone joining me. It has been a wonderful Wednesday, a hectic Wednesday. Wednesdays are always very super duper interesting for me because it's a day that I designate to take care of my spiritual responsibilities. It's a day I try to catch up with some of my reading that I need to be doing and everything else like that. So even though I take it as an intentional day to catch up, I end up starting more projects than I actually finish. But it's a very special day for me and my spirits because it allows me to connect and stay connected. And I make it a priority to make these connections at this time. So I'm having a wonderful Wednesday. I hope everyone else out there is as well. Wednesdays are special. Another reason Wednesdays are special for me is because we get to come together on the radio and we get to meet up and we get to share and we get to develop. And this is the family. This is the A Wonderful Approach family. And I get each week, we get lots and lots of feedback. And, you know, a lot of the feedback always has to do with either myself or Mama Khadija and one of the callers. You know, we have people that are tuning in to hear the callers call in just as much as they're calling in to hear Mama Khadija and I. And that's a wonderful sign to me that we are doing a good job having people call in and the callers are really connecting with the listeners. You know, every time a caller calls in, a listener's like, that's me. I can connect. I relate. And so, you know, our family, our regulars that call in, please continue to share. And for our newbies that catch us every now and again when they can, I appreciate you. Welcome to the family. And continue to, you know, share with us. And we're here every Wednesday. If you would like to contribute once we get kicking, all you have to do is press 1, and that lets us know that you'd like to share. And, like, we had a couple new callers call in last week and just say, you know, hello, I'm here, I'm listening. And it was wonderful to even hear that. So I encourage everyone to share and to build and grow. For those that are interested, if you want to hear some of the commotion, because we make a commotion here. We're not shy about it. We say exactly what we like to say. And, you know, sometimes there is easy words to come by and sometimes they're not. But what you'll always get is a truth. You'll always get authentic energy. You'll always get sincere words. And usually something to grow on, you know. So we'll tell you this, and then we'll tell you where to get some more information. So this is a place of sharing and caring, and I want to welcome everyone to here. If you want to check out some of the old shows that started the buzz and started to build the platform that we're speaking on, you can go to A Wonderful Approach Facebook page. The older shows are archived right there. We've had a really deep year so far. We started this year out to connect with people and to give people a place to connect so that when we're together, if you're having an off day, if you need to learn something new, sometimes someone will say something that you might already know, but it's making a new connection with you. And so I really want to encourage everyone to check in and to allow the words that are shared here to, you know, really penetrate and to make that impact on you, because that is the goal. We are here to make those kind of differences in everyone's life. So, and also to have our lives impacted, because what I find, what I have found, and Mama Khadija can attest to this, is that these conversations here go and have other conversations. We have the South Carolina Study Group. Hey, how you doing? Yassine has taken many topics to her community center. I mean, there have been tons of people that say, you know, this so started a conversation here, which allowed for some clarity and some healing possibly. And so I strongly encourage, you know, let the calls here be nice and fiery and educational, but also, you know, take them into your home. A lot of times me, I have an adult child, and he's a grown child, I guess. I don't know the correct terminology, but I have a 19-year-old who is taking some steps in his life to be an adult. And so a lot of these conversations him and I will have afterwards, and it will give me an idea as to where he is mentally and everything else like that. So don't hesitate to let the learning and growing continue from here. As always, each week that we are allowed, we have Mama Khadija who joins us, who brings in her years of wisdom. And let me see if I can open up a mic. Hold on. Mama Khadija?
Greetings, Seven. Greetings, 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 family. How's everyone doing this blessed day? Did everyone get their present today? Yes, we got our present. Another day to learn lessons and to get those blessings. And that's what I'm talking about, the lessons and the blessings. So I am so privileged and honored to be here, to be healthy. I can go down the list to have family, to have friends. I had something very exciting happen this week that I would love to share, maybe later on during the show, Seven, if I can. Mm-hmm. And okay. Now, did you do the recap of what we talked about last week? Because that was so exciting.
No, I did not. Would you like to share the recap?
You know, my recaps are so short, and yours are a lot more lengthy, but I will say this, and then you can add two.
Okay.
We talked, our topic last was refreshing, regrouping, and retreating. The importance of those three components in maintaining a spiritual balance, which, of course, is going to impact our carnal life, but maintaining that balance, and we need all three of those things. Why refresh? How do we refresh? When is regrouping important? And when do we retreat? And the difference between isolating and retreating. So that is what we talked about last week in a nutshell. You know, I'm a bottom line person, so you can go ahead and fill in the gaps if you want to add anything to that. Because I thought, and for anybody on the line that missed it last week, please go back into the archives and check it out. We had some awesome callers. People were talking about how they refreshed, what the retreat meant for them, how they regrouped, when to regroup, how long is it that you regroup, where do you go, how do you do it. So you'll find all that in the archives on our Facebook page, A Wonderful Approach, and check out whatever other shows. Seven, I know you already said that, but last week was special for me. I thought it was an awesome show.
I thought it was an awesome show as well. I'm very authentic when I speak on the air. and it's not just when I'm on the air, it's just period. When I speak from a very personal point of view because it is personal. And one thing I liked about that show is because it helped me to understand why I have these reminders in place. You know, I have reminders to remind me, okay, at this point, you're going to need this. At that point, you're going to need that. And it's absolutely correct. One thing I can share about the refreshing, regrouping, retreating is, you know, even this last weekend, I could tell that I was in energy that I needed to really kind of retreat from. This was not the right mix of energy for me. And so I knew that because I knew what I feel like, and I know what I feel like when I am fresh, when I'm rejuvenated, when everything is well, when I feel secure in my surroundings, I know what that felt like. So the second that changed, I was like, okay, I need to do a refreshing. I need to do a regrouping because I can tell that my energy just got off, tell that this environment was not the best, not the healthiest for me. And so, and then I, of course, I had to go and reflect. I was like, wow, Spirit already directed us to review when these times are necessary. And so I was glad that I had that fresh on my mind and fresh on my spirit. So I didn't allow the energy to drag me down, and I didn't allow the energy to confuse me. I knew immediately that I needed to do a little regrouping myself. And so I love to be able to share with everyone, hypothetically speaking, you know, this is this and this is that. But in reality, this is not hypothetical. This is 100% every day, all day. These are things we need to be aware of, and we need to learn how we can correct them within ourselves. So, you know, that was a very real moment, and it just happened a couple of days ago. So, you know, don't allow the words here to be hollow. They are very real, very strong, robust words, and take it and apply it to your life, you know, because there are always times and moments in our life where we're going to need to know when and how to do those things. So I'm very glad that we had just reviewed that, and I am far from an expert. I really consider myself a true, very humble student in the study of religion and spirituality, but I can never learn enough. I can never review enough. So even the people on the line that are experts, you know, that have years and years of studying, there's still the possibility for review and creating a new awareness and understanding. And so that show is definitely one I would go back into the archive and review, because it had a lot of good information to it.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to introduce tonight's topic, Seven?
Yeah, I sure will.
Okay.
And we can go back and forth on this, okay?
Okay.
We're doing two very serious topics. Learning to spiritually cope with grief and loss, okay? And there's a lot going on in that one sentence, because learning coping mechanisms is so important to our life, whether we're talking about carnal life, physical life, emotional life, mental life, spiritual life. We must learn how to cope. No matter how spiritual you may be or how religious, you're going to have situations that are going to require you to really pull on a strength that may not be that strong. You know, it's going to require you to really pull on some energies that you may not be as secure in. So that coping is something that we try to teach children when they're very young, how to cope, how to handle, how to maintain oneself in a different kind of environment. And then on grief and loss, I'm going to speak about grief. Grief, and I had to go to the definition of this, grief is defined as deep sorrow. And it's particularly around deep sorrow, misery, sadness, pain, distress, and is usually related to a transitioning, someone's transition. And grief is an emotion, a thought, a feeling that is very natural. It's a part of life, but there's ways to handle it. And that's what we're going to be spending time dealing with today. I spend a lot of time speaking with people about ancestors. I spend a lot of time guiding people through this grief process. And the grieving process can be quite challenging. And it takes a lot of energy and it takes a lot of heart, and some people tend to lose themselves at this grieving point, which is why spiritually it's one of my favorite places to help people, because this is where you can't really see in front of you. You have lost yourself. There's no light. There's not a lot of up or down. You don't even care about up or down. And during those times, there are spiritual tools and spiritual people that you need to be able to reach out to help you, guide you through. And when I say guide you through, you may actually have, someone may have to carry you. You know, this is where one of my favorite poems, the Footsteps poem, comes from. And I remember being a child and seeing the Footsteps poster in my great aunt's house. And it meant so much to begin to see and to understand why there was only one set of footsteps. But I'm going to actually pull up that poem, and I'm going to recite it for a little bit later. But Mama Khadija, do you want to share about grief as well?
Well, I was actually prepared to share about loss. And if you'd like, I can do that at this point in time. I think you did an excellent job defining grief. And a lot of times, grief is the result of dealing with loss. And loss is very simple to define. It's just the act of losing something or someone, some possession, some relationship, a failure to keep something, being without something, deprivation. That's basically what loss is. Now, there are all kinds of losses. You know, we live in this life. Many of us have been here for at least 25 or 30 years, for starters. There's your loss of life. And back in my mental health days, when I was working exclusively in mental health, we had a chart that pretty much highlighted like the top 20 stressors in someone's life. And some of those things I'm going to touch on tonight, but, you know, the loss of life, of course, is a biggie. The loss of a child is a biggie. The loss of employment, that's a biggie. These are things that people kind of really stress out over and can really lose themselves. You know, the loss of innocence, the loss of a spouse or death, the loss of your way, the loss of your sacred spiritual path, the loss of insight, housing, friendship, stability, fulfillment in life, the loss of joy. All of these things, at some point in our life, we are probably going to have to face. We're probably going to have to go through them. Now, almost anything that we have, including the relationships, in their absence, we feel a sense of loss. We basically feel a sense of loss. When we feel that sense of loss, if we're not properly grounded, if we don't have the tools, let me deal with the toolbox, because there are a lot of ways that you can go about dealing with loss. The first step is to acknowledge it, okay, and acknowledge the feelings about the loss without becoming really bogged down in sorrow, anger, and negative feelings. So we can deal with the loss and not have to have this deep sorrow and deep sadness and all like that. It doesn't have to turn into grief. That's basically what I'm saying. So we want to go back to the toolbox. For all of our listeners that have been with us from day one or even two or three, it almost comes up at every show, the toolbox. And the toolbox are spiritual tools that we use each and every day to get through life. But just in terms of dealing with this whole loss issue, I want to go into the toolbox. Now, Seven always talks about flexing this muscle and flexing that muscle. We're talking about the same thing. What's in the toolbox? Okay, the very first thing I think that we need to rely on and pull out of that toolbox when we have just suffered a loss is our faith. our faith in the Most High, no matter what name you call your Creator, God, Jehovah, Oludamare, Allah. Lean on that faith, because that faith will get you through so much, so much. The worst of it, faith will work for you. Prayer and meditation. Prayer is talking to God. Meditation is listening. So we've got to exercise that muscle. You've got to pray a little bit more, and you probably have to meditate a little bit more. Lean on those support systems, whether that is a support group, whether it's talking to your parents, your best friend, your therapist, your counselor, an elder. Lean on that support group. One thing that I'm really big on that's also in the toolbox that I know is a major factor in recovering oneself from loss is gratitude. See the glass half full, not half empty. When you focus on what you have, there's little time left to focus on what you don't have. And gratitude changes the spirit. Gratitude can bring about a really positive change in the spirit. Another biggie for dealing with this loss is service to others. Have you ever dealt with a situation and you felt a sense of loss and somebody said, get out of yourself? Just move, step out of yourself. Mm-hmm. Get out of your own head. What they're attempting to do is to refocus and to reshift that energy. So if you're focused on your loss, get out of your head. You know, get out of yourself. Do something for somebody else. That always works. And last but not least, and you can use all the tools in the toolbox, but I'm talking about the top six for me, is forgiveness. Because strange as it may seem, how many times do we suffer a loss and the first thing that pops up is, I would have, I could have, and I should have. At that point, say the prayer of serenity. And I want to share that with people that are not familiar with that prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Say that prayer because that's a very powerful prayer. Loss is a part of life. And I think nature is probably one of our teachers. When we come into this world, we come in and we take a lot. Babies take a whole lot. And we get a whole lot. Babies get a whole lot. But as we mature, we begin to give back. If we mature, some of us, you know, it takes us a little longer than others. But we begin to give back as we mature. But at the height of our maturity, there seems to be a decline. Okay? We begin to suffer losses. Health problems. Right now, I'm dealing with one. Seven, you're always talking about being authentic. I have eye problems, vision problems, okay, because I am at the height of my maturity. So, yes, health problems, vision problems, whatever. A capacity to do physical things. Sometimes that leaves us, most of the time. Relationships drop off. We begin to lose family, friends, loved ones, you know, to illness or, if they're lucky, to old age. And for many of us, we begin to lose a sense of value. Value in our families, value in within our communities. We don't have those jobs anymore. So are we important enough to work? Are we valued enough for people to hear our opinions? You know, so these are the kinds of losses as you mature that we'll begin to feel. Now, a lot of times we can see those signs of loss, even among young people. Isolation is a dead giveaway. When someone begins to isolate, okay, they're dealing with something. More than likely, they're dealing with a loss or they're grieving over something. Anger is another one. Depression is another one. And I'm here to say, in all of my years of working in mental health, that depression is anger turned inward. Lethargy. I have no energy. You know, I can't do this and I can't do that. Apathy a lot of times. Feelings and behavior that withdraws them from family, from society, from living a meaningful life. And just being in mental darkness, those dark thoughts, they come about when we suffer a loss, and a lot of times when it has moved from a loss to grieving.
Right.
So I've just highlighted a couple of things that I wanted to share. And I want to say that if you feel a sense of loss, if you are grieving something, if it's prolonged, if it's extended, or if you don't want it to get to the point where it's prolonged or extended, there are things that we can do. There are, oh, I can't even imagine how many. I probably know 10 right off the top of my head, spiritual baths that you can take. There's spiritual baths. There's spiritual washes. We can use aromatherapy. We can use music therapy. We can go with sound therapy. I saw something online the other day, which was forest therapy, walking out in the woods, hugging trees, you know, vibing with the earth, with nature. That's real. And that's something that they're using on a great, massive level in Japan today. Doing something physical. Now, something physical might work for you and might not work for me. But whatever floats your boat, whatever can remove this sense of loss, whatever can keep you from crossing over that bridge from loss to grieving, let's do it. If it's going to the gym and working out, if it's jogging that 2 miles in the morning, whatever you need to do to ensure that stability and that balance in your life. I mentioned earlier talking to a trusted friend, a mentor, a therapist, whomever. Get it out. Talk about it. So those are just a couple of the things that you can do when you're in that space. When you're in that space, I'd like to share, first of all, please press 1 if you want to contribute to this conversation. I don't want to monopolize the conversation. and let us know that you're there, that you're listening, that you want to add something, or you have a question, whatever it is, press 1, please. I want to share something about a program that I'm involved in with Mother Eagle Ministries. It's called the Morning Camp. The morning camp is just that morning, not like night and day, morning as in grieving. Yeah. And it's a weekend-long program. And to put that in a nutshell, it's letting go to heal. Letting go all of the junk, all of the losses, all of the bad feelings, all of the feelings of rejection, abandonment, you name it, letting all of that go. And we have certain rituals and mental health exercises that we do that help you to get through that. But that is called a mourning camp. It could also be called a grieving camp. But it's a way that we use, it's a program that we use to help others, to assist them in that whole grieving process. So out of that, we have seen miracles. And that's not an exaggeration. Has worked this program with me for the past 10 years. It's not an exaggeration. There are other people on this line that have worked that program. I'm sure somebody's out there. We've seen miracles. We've seen people come in that could not access their inner voice, could not. Now, they could talk, but they could not access that inner voice. And after a weekend of doing these rituals, doing these mental health exercises, they were right on, in touch with that inner voice and speaking it loudly. People that hadn't smiled, people that were so burdened and heavy with that deep sadness and that grieving and the whole sense of loss, that didn't want to live, that walked away affirming life, affirming love, affirming contact with family and friends. So there are a lot of things that we don't have to be in that dark place.
Right.
But I do suggest that we go through those feelings. If you suffer a loss, it's only natural for you to feel a way about it. That's natural. And depending on how long you stay there, you know, you could stay there for depending on what it is. Yeah. Yeah, and it depends on exactly what it is, how long you've had that attachment, et cetera, et cetera. So there are things that we can do. So there is hope.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of hope. There are a lot of solutions out there. Don't stay there. Go through those feelings of loss. Don't let them cross over that bridge to grieving and get on with your life.
Mm-hmm.
And reach out. Reach out.
And one thing that you said, Mama Khadija, that I just have to reiterate, and we do have phone lines, and we're coming right now. But one thing that you said is that the loss does not have to be a transitioning of a person. This loss can be so many different things. Loss just means you don't have it anymore. That's all that means. So that means your friend might still be right there in front of you, but if they are not available to you, you may feel a loss. You know, the job, you know, might still be going on. You just may have lost love for the job, you know. And so it doesn't mean that something terminated. It just means it's not there in the same capacity that it was.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so So I don't want you to think that it has to be mind-blowing before it starts to affect you. Because sometimes if we deny that this just occurred, then it's hard for us to start to combat it. That's how some people, you know, depression will sneak up on people. And I'm like, how did it sneak up on you like this? But, you know, they didn't realize that they were being affected in that way. And they didn't have reminders and retreaters and regrouping. They didn't have a system in place that helped them realize that something is going wrong. Something is, you know, we're here in this space too long. You know, where's our support group? Where are those that are our caretakers that are here to care for us and to make sure that we're fine? Where is all of these different tools at? And so, you know, I just want to remind everyone that loss does not mean transition only. It can just mean not to that capacity. But, Mama Khadija, the phone lines are lit, and I would love to get to a couple of these if we could.
Yes.
We have a caller, 301 ending 0591. Welcome to the show.
Hello, how you doing?
Greetings.
How are you?
Greetings. All right, how you doing? My name is Corwin McDaniels.
Corwin.
Hi, Corwin.
Hello.
All right. Well, cousin, thank you so much for calling in. It means a lot to me. You're showing support, showing the love.
Yeah.
Talk to us.
Well, I totally agree with you two on, because I went through all of it, and the spiritual, the everything. When I lost my father, so it was like, it was weird because before I lost him, I was learning and about grief, and I went working at the hospital, seeing death and dealing with it, you know, still just in the learning process of it, not realizing I was learning, you know, preparing myself for future death.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how I kind of look at it. And just reading up on things about spirituality, like you said, prayer, but not only prayer, but also meditation. But then I got into eating better, which actually helped with my mental state of mind. I found that eating better, more alkaline foods and waters and things of that nature will also help in your mental state and how you vibrate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I walked the woods to, like Mama Khadija said, about grounding yourself. I actually walk the woods of nature and vibrate with her. You know, I've been doing all these things lately. Then when Father passed, it was like, okay. Then, you know, someone passed and all these memories come up. Then all this regret. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, then that's that grieving process. So I was like, well, wait. I don't have to have regret. You know, what happened between he and I is what happened, you know, with the good and the bad, you know. So I don't have to grieve in a way that would put me in a mental state of depression or bipolarism or anything of that nature, you know, which would lead to other things depending on your, you know, your true makeup or who you're around and, you know, your environment. Which brings me to another point of how I've learned to that I am a person that vibrates, and I am in control of how I vibrate and what I I can set my mood. I don't have to allow outside forces create who I am.
That's right.
And so I don't allow a lot of negative energy around me any longer. So that has helped. That helps a lot as well. So it's like, I guess when people come to realize like who they are and how they function on this rock we call Earth, I think the grieving process would become, you know, it wouldn't be as bad. Of course you're going to grieve, and I've learned to, okay, you've got to accept all emotions, you know.
Right.
Don't try to, I feel like you shouldn't try to block the emotion. Just, okay, I'm grieving, accept that you're grieving, and take steps to move on with your grieving, you know,
to
a better, you know what I mean? Don't wallow and just sit in that cesspool of it, because it just leads to other things.
Yeah, I'd like to share with you, Corwin, about the loss of your father and dealing with all of that. I embrace a tradition where when someone passes away, they have only changed form.
Exactly, so, yes. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That has made, I mean, not only do I believe it's true, not only do I know it's true firsthand, but I know that it is really going to help a lot of people see that Mama doesn't have a body now, but I can still communicate with her.
Exactly.
You know, I can do things for her.
Out.
She can do something for me.
They're always a part of you, because, you know, you have 23, you know, chromosomes as each of your parents. You resonate with this earth through your DNA. So all you got to do is call on him. All I got to do is call on him, and he'll come.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Call on my ancestors. You know, I had a cousin that passed. From time to time, certain music come on, and I could feel his presence and see him smile, you know. So I really think that's true, yeah. They're always around. But if you're not grounded, you won't understand it, you know. So there's a lot of steps I had to take, and I found that eating right helped a whole lot. It helped a whole lot.
Wow.
Because you cleanse yourself of all that gook, you know, to help you get back to what, you know, what you're supposed to be, so your DNA can resonate. And, you know, you people call it like acclimatizing yourself, like you go to a real hot place and you drink the water and go into the sun of that area so your body can get used to it. I believe metaphysically you can feel, you can, you know, it'll adjust, and you can talk to your ancestors and all those things. But if your body isn't in what it's supposed to do, it won't resonate that way, you know. So that's been my, like, my journey, just trying to keep feeding it the right fuel so that it'll resonate at that level to where as I can, you know, it'll just be a automatic thing to me.
All right.
Awesome. Thank you so much for calling and sharing. And then and tell us what you do for a living. I'm going to go ahead and put you on the spot. Tell us what you do for a living.
Well, right now I'm a general contractor. I work during the day as an electrician. Before that, I was a health technician in the mental health section, working with the vets with PTSD, drug and alcohol problems, and the homeless veterans. Doing peer support, you know, those kinds of things, just getting them acclimated back into society, because that's a different world. I'm a 9-year veteran myself, so that's why I enjoyed the job. But I'm such an empath, and I hadn't learned to not take on so much energy. I couldn't hold on to it any longer. You know what I mean?
I
understand.
You know, I enjoy the service of working with other people because I was a health technician, a home health aide. You know, I'm at a massage therapist. You know, I like hospitality, but I hadn't learned to manage taking in so much energy. You know? I hadn't learned that I was that type of person as well. I didn't know that about me. It was like I would walk into a room, it's like, why is everybody looking at me and flocking to me and trying to be my friend? You know? But I had learned that I was drawing them to me. You know, it wasn't always a bad thing, but I just didn't understand it.
It was still energy.
Right.
But it was still
energy.
Exactly. It was still, right. I just didn't understand it, wasn't aware of it, and didn't know how to control it. You know? So, yeah, just stay in prayer and meditation and eat right. I'm telling you, eating right will definitely, it's a whole nother level when you eat right. That's the key.
Awesome.
That's the
you know,
key
I right appreciate here. That because that's something that I know I hadn't necessarily taken into consideration. Now, I knew eating the whole tub of ice cream was probably a no-no. You know, I knew that. But understanding how it can, you know, create better moods and a clearer mind, that's why we do the prayers and the fasting and have these periods of fasting to get our bodies back together and to get our bodies clear.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's a reset, right?
Absolutely.
Well, but that should be just a way of life, you know. We've been educated wrong on how to eat, especially with us having melanin. We don't take care of our melanin the way we're supposed to. We really don't, because we're following a diet of somebody else. You know, we got to figure out learn what our diet is and eat that diet, you know.
Well, that's a whole nother show, Corwin. That is a whole nother show. That's a couple of shows.
Okay.
And I'm interested.
Right.
I'm going to get you and Gypsy together, and we're going to talk about vibrations, and we're going to get that vibration show going. We're going to do that. But thank you so much for calling in and letting us know
Thanks
and sharing with us.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's good
Absolutely.
Talking to you all. It's been a while.
Okay. Yes. Many blessings.
We will do more.
Many blessings. Bye.
Awesome. And that is so real. And I'm so glad that we had the opportunity to hear from a man, because a lot of times our men folk are just not as open with their feelings, and we need them to be. A big part of learning how to deal with these emotions, I mean, first you got to acknowledge the emotion. You have to, you know, give it its just due in order to really begin to understand it. And a lot of times our men, for the reasons that they're men, they don't do it as freely as the women do. So it was so good to hear that and hear that being shared.
Oh, we got another man calling in tonight.
Okay.
We got another man. I'm claiming it.
Mama Lisa is good about picking out phone calls. Let's tell everyone I'm on the switchboard, okay, but she's picking the calls. The phone lines are still there. So I got to call 919 ending in 6628. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Greetings.
Thank you. Peace and blessings to the host and the moderator. And
awesome.
Thank you for inviting me. This is Adisa Akinyele.
Greetings, Baba. Greetings.
Everything that you have said is 100% on point. 100%
awesome.
On point.
Thank you. The description
of grief and loss to the brother that talked about, you know, creating a holistic place for you to be in to handle the stress. Because that's one of the things that people don't realize. Losing someone or losing something creates a state of stress.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't, most of the time we don't know or have access to the oracles that will relieve that stress, the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important that folks recognize that the unknown is only unknown for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
More will be revealed as you make it through each day, which
mm-hmm.
is a very good, you know, because a lot of times we get caught up in, well, what am I going to do now?
Yes.
Forgive me, I'm sitting outside on my front porch. It's a beautiful night here in Virginia.
Okay.
There's some birds that are going to come through every now and then. But I work with mental health patients, as well as folks who are addicted, as well as folks who are just stuck in a an unhealthy way of coping with life stresses.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those life stresses emanate from how they perceive losing something.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, mm-hmm. most of the time, it's a loved one. And mm-hmm. so, you know, trying to reframe for them, you know, this is a temporary position. Let's not make decisions based on a temporary situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of us have never had an opportunity to make those decisions for ourselves. Or if we had the opportunity, we didn't take advantage of it.
Right.
You know, I can remember being in the Christian church and they saying, you know, bad times don't last always. But we forget
mm-hmm.
that we're going to have those bad times.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get into the bad times and we want to continue that mentality, and oftentimes it's not a mentality that goes hand in hand with our psychology, our innate psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do things like, and you can tell me, or just had an amen corner, how many times you done went to somebody's wedding and folks show up and they be intoxicated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or they lose their job and the first thing they want to do is get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Or and all those things block our ability to proceed through the stages of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we do that multiple times, we have multiple grief episodes that have never been healed, that have never
mm-hmm.
gone through the total process. And
mm-hmm.
so that's when people get stuck. It's like, I don't want to do this. I don't like how this makes me feel, but I don't know how to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
So
this
program is something that should be in every community, African American, Native American, you name it, you know, because we've all been inundated with someone else's way of interpreting loss, interpreting
mm-hmm.
how to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, The other folk don't even look at healing from the grief. You just move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. You have to ask yourself, how come I only get 4 or 5 days off to grieve the loss of a parent, and then I have to be back at work?
Right. That's right.
Sometimes it takes longer than 4 or 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Most times.
I'm not saying close to grief for a whole 30 days, a whole month, but that wouldn't be unusual for some people.
That's right. That's right.
We don't get a chance to do that. There's no understanding of that in the workplace. Look, you done been out for 2 weeks. It's about time you come back.
That's right. That's right.
And so we have to do the things that help us re-engage with life, because oftentimes we get hung up in the death or in the loss. I lost my job. When you gonna start looking for a job? When you don't have a paycheck coming anymore?
Mm-hmm.
When you gonna start healing yourself from the loss of a relationship? You know, when you are so desperate that you'll accept the first person that shows you any bit of attention.
Mm-hmm.
Slightest bit.
A lot of times, losses of let's say a car or a job is to teach us a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, or to put us on a different path that we should have been on, but we had no mind and we operated on our own free will without the guidance of Ori.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes we lose the things that we covet too highly in order to put us back on a path that is more holistic for where our destiny wants us to be.
Amen.
And so, you know, a lot of it has to do with the teaching that we receive. There's some systems that don't even teach about how to grieve.
Mm-hmm.
They'll teach you about, you know, the loss. But what about the grief?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You know, that person's going to a better place, yes. But in the meantime, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I love that person,
right.
You know, and that's so right. We have to start being, and I think this is some of the things that Mother Eagle is trying to do, is help people develop the mechanisms, the internal work that will help them overcome that stagnant state of being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because if you go back to Maya, it says you grieve, but not too much.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the 24 or 42 principles of Maya, every emotion is listed, but not too much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It means in Maya, you're looking, searching for balance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you have control over that. It's versus letting external things control.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, if there's something that you regret, you can atone for that regret. If there's something that needs to be worked out, you have access to oracles that can help you work those things out. Because it may take something spiritual, on a spiritual level, to lighten the mood.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
You need to send a message to the old room that, you know, this person is in need of elevation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which every person that we lose, be it a child or an adult or whomever, needs to be elevated.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we don't elevate them, they leave a pressing on our shoulders or on our hearts and our auras.
That's right.
And so, but if we included that in the process, you know, grandma's gone. How can I continue to have that contact with grandma?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't do anything actively, grandma will make sure that you think of her.
That's right.
You'll walk in your own house, and there'll be smells and music and you know, the curtains are open and blowing just like they was at Grandma's house.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma ain't here.
Yep.
Well, who you think who you think laid that out for you?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Grandma laid it out. You know,
you're
those
right.
are things that we growing up as so-called African people in America, it's been stripped from us to be able to accept and even recognize the spirit world speaking to us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the folks that I talk to when we talk about them losing a loved one, you know, I have to educate them on how energy works. That energy cannot be destroyed, it can only be transformed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what? They're looking at me like, what?
That's a fact.
Our bodies
are
only, yes, our bodies are only vessels for an energy, for a life force. That life force doesn't die. It can't be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to another dimension. And so if we take that to heart, then we never have to truly be without our loved ones.
That's right.
That's right.
They're here if you call them.
Mm-hmm.
If you choose to interact with them, they're here to help lift your spirit, to help do things on a greater level than they could in their physical form.
Mm-hmm.
And given the fact that so many of us are detached, you know, we don't live in the same towns that Grandma live in. We can't go to Grandma's house and just park outside and talk to Grandma.
Right.
So we have to develop mechanisms that allow us to have that access. And it's not so much for them, it's for us, the living.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because they'll come and visit with us and spend time with us, you know. But where do we go to spend time with them?
Mm-hmm.
So there's the practical aspect of developing cultural rituals that work for us as diaspora and Africans. That often gets overlooked because too many of our spiritual systems don't understand beyond what they've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't been taught from an African-centered perspective. So, I mean, I'm not going to bash them because, you know, for a long time, that's all we had.
That's right.
The 1970s, and in the 80s, there was no African tradition in this country. We had hoodoo, and we had some other ones that worked, but they weren't ancestrally grounded.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas after Chief Dene Zulu and the Oba and Fudula, Aje Surgiman, Ade Fumi the First, until they went to Africa and received the rituals and came back and taught, we mostly follow Christianity and Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't necessarily have a great deal to say about ancestral veneration and keeping those ancestors close to you through altars, shrines, annual Egungun parade, and having a day in the year for your ancestors to come out, walk the earth, and speak to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those are all things that holistically reconnect us to ancient tradition, but to a holistic way of dealing with our ancestors and our grief. If I knew next year Grandma's coming back because I built the Agon for her, and I'm going to honor her, you know, with food and dance and taba, or alcohol or cigarettes, whatever she wanted, whatever she enjoyed in life, I'm going to invite her in to enjoy it with us and speak to us and give me a sign, give me a message on what I'm supposed to do next. You know, then I can halfway cope with her not being here on a daily basis.
How many times we go visit? It gives everybody something to work towards.
Right.
Yeah, it gives everybody something to work towards. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So,
that is awesome.
Well, Baba Adisa, I'll tell you, just like I told Corwin, that's a whole other show, or maybe two or three shows.
Okay.
Because you got a lot of knowledge and wisdom and insight that our listeners really, really need to hear. So please do come back, and we'll make some arrangements for you to come back and to take my seat. Take my seat and just, you know, share. Because it's always good to have a different perspective. Not that my perspective is any different than yours, because we have a lot in common, especially when it comes to ancestral stuff and Egun stuff. But just, you know, I would love to hear you come back and talk about that mindset, that African mindset, the ancestors, how we can venerate them, how we can keep in touch with them, and give our listeners some hope. Because that's
right.
what it's all about. That connection brings about power and hope and love and joy inside of who we are. So I welcome you back. I welcome you back. Thank you so much for calling in. And there's the second man, but I know there's another man out there. This might be men's night. Now, I'm not saying that. If there's a sister that wants to press one, please, by all means, don't pay me any attention.
Press one.
But this
you have to come with
thing.
The fire because the men are.
Yes, they on fire tonight. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. Do we have another light?
That's right. We got lots of lights.
Oh, come on. Let's go with it. Let's see where this other man
Thank
is coming
you,
in. Thank you so much, Baba.
Lord. Okay, keep it rolling. I have a call, 843-0340. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. How y'all doing? I'm
doing
blessed.
Greetings.
Fine. I'm blessed by the best, and I continue on doing the rest. And I just wanted to let you know I was listening.
All
Amen.
Right.
All
right. All right. We got you. We got you. Thank you
All
so
right.
much.
That's
oh,
South Carolina in the house.
Yes, South
Carolina. South
Carolina
in the house.
Beautiful. These clouds, girl, they are off the chain out here. I mean, the sky is just seeing the way it. The sky is looking right where I'm at. You know, spirit, ancestors, and all are walking this earth. We just got to keep us more
Amen.
Power. You know, that's
Amen.
All.
Amen.
I just want to let you know.
Amen. I lost it right the second. Lost it right
okay.
there. Call back, Nana, call back. But, you know, one thing that Brother Adisa said that I really wanted to speak on, and the phone lines are on fire. I'm going to come back to the phone lines in two seconds.
Be quick because we got to get to these callers.
I'm going to be quick. One thing he said was he spoke about the drugs and the alcohol use, okay? Those are not positive coping mechanisms. That is going to delay the healing that is needed to get past the loss before we get to grief. And that's really important, especially in our community as African Americans, as those that carry a lot of Native blood within us. We cannot, though we already know that those coping mechanisms, those tools, don't work. They don't work for us. And so we 100% have to find other tools. That is a guaranteed fail. That's a guaranteed fail. And so, you know, I just wanted to, I mean, he said so much, but that was really, really important. We have to remember that we're looking for positive spiritual coping mechanisms. We cannot do the pacifier effect, okay? I just need something to take the edge off. But sometimes it's that edge that helps to promote the healing. It's the edge that forces us to say, you know what, this is the last straw. I'm making the change today. And that's what that edge can do if you feel it all the way. Don't let yourself get numb to the pain. Sometimes it's the pain that is the motivator for the change.
True,
it's the spark.
True.
So we cannot do negative coping. That's not going to work. So we have another call coming in. This is 757 9589. Welcome to the show. Greetings. Greetings, you may have to take yourself off mute. Okay, so I'll come back to that. Hello, hello? Okay, I'll come back. And then, and so we have a call here. I believe this is my sister, 6089.
Blessings, family.
Greetings. Hey, how you doing?
I am fabulous. I had so much to say, but I'm so loving the energy coming from the brothers. I'm just going to be quiet because I need to hear another brother. Because I think sometimes, you know, as those, as mental health professionals, there's mostly women.
Mm-hmm.
But to hear brothers who've been in the field and they're using the tools and they're able to share it, I just don't know how to act over here. So I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to tell y'all thank you.
Yes.
I love you so much.
Yes.
And we need another brother.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. So we are working and building and growing. And, yeah, the brothers are getting all the love tonight. Yeah, I'll let it go tonight. You know, I'll let y'all do that. You know, it's all
good.
Our
men need that love now. Our brothers need that love.
I give it to them.
Okay.
I give it to them. Look, we always want to encourage those that are trying to encourage the people. You know,
one thing
that I'm hearing is, I'm a mental health counselor. I'm hearing I work with people. I give to people. I nurture people. And, you know, it's so important that we as nurturers work with others in their nurturing. You know, we ourselves have responsibility before we go and try to put the gas mask or somebody else and try to save them from the fumes, that we ourselves are operating at a healthy point and position as well. So it's wonderful to hear these human service workers that have a plan in place. This is how I deal with it. This is what I'm doing. Like Kerwood said, he was like, I was training and didn't realize it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So those
mm-hmm.
practices were already being put into place. And that's wonderful to hear because we have to make sure that we are healthy in order to continue to work with others and to pour into others. So I'm not going to talk long. I'm going to try to see if I can get my 757 number back on the line.
Okay.
Let me see here. Welcome to the show. Greetings. No, they might just be listening. They might just be listening. Okay, I'm going to Florida now. Okay, I'm at 4801. 4801, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you.
Welcome.
Greetings.
Hi,
hey,
please.
How you doing?
All right. Blessed as always. I'm just going to make it sweet and short and say once again, it's a wonderful program. I appreciate everybody speaking out and the gentleman speaking out. So I just thank y'all for your support, your doing the show, healing us mentally each and every week. So I send my blessings and prayers back to you.
Thank you so much, Omi Shayon. And I just want to add just a little to that. As we heal others, as healers, we are also healing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we are both students and teachers, all of us. So everything that we might say that you might agree with or may feed your spirit, also feed what you say and your responses feed our spirit. So it's never a one-sided relationship. It's all about family. We talk about the wonderful approach family. We talk about the Mother Eagle family, and we're all in this together. So we're all giving and we're all taking. So I do appreciate you. I appreciate you calling in and all the insight that you have given us since day one. Just want to say that. Love you.
Amen. I got to catch the end of that. Amen.
But,
yeah.
Amen.
you know, this this topic being as hot as it is, and having the diverse callers call in, it has been absolutely wonderful. I know that you had spoken earlier about something you were going to share about loss with us.
About loss?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to share anything about loss.
No,
I think there was something I was going to share later on in the show, but it was not related to loss. A victory of sorts that I wanted to share with the listening audience a little bit later on before we closed out in our prayer session.
Okay. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. All right. I'll take a victory.
Okay. Yeah. Especially after a topic like this. Because, you know, mental health is real. And mental health doesn't mean crazy. Mental health doesn't mean necessarily problems. Mental health means mental health. Just like physical health, it means mental health. And we all have to work on our mental health. We all have to work on that balance. We have to work on focus. We have to work on concentration. We all, every single day of our lives, we have to work on our mental health. So it's not a bad word. So a lot of times I think a lot of people feel that when we say mental health, when anybody says mental health, we're talking about something really bizarre. No, we're talking about maintaining balance. We're talking about having healthy thoughts. We're talking about exhibiting healthy behaviors. We're talking about exhibiting good boundaries. You know, we're talking about a lot of different things that all of us utilize every single day in order to navigate our way through this journey we call life. So mental health is not a bad word. And I think Seven said, I know Baba Adisa and I said, you know, this whole loss and grieving process is very natural. It's very normal.
Very natural.
And it's not really what happens to you in life as much as it is how you deal with it.
Absolutely.
How you deal with it. And I just want to stress, I can't stress enough, that we will all suffer losses in our life. We all may have some grieving that we do in our life, but let's try to stop it. Let's try to bridge or stop it at the bridge between loss and grieving. It doesn't have to get to that point. And if it does, then there's still things that we can do. You know, this show has given me so much hope, and I'm hoping that it has given our listeners a lot of hope as well, knowing that there's solutions out there. You know, sometimes when we're stuck in our own pain and in our own darkness and whatnot, we don't think there are any solutions. And a lot of times we think we're by ourselves. Guess what? We're not. Thousands of other people have gone through this same thing and have made it through. But, I mean, I hate to go there with Dr. Phil, but he always says you can't heal what you don't acknowledge. I agree with that 100%. Let's start to acknowledge some things, work our way through it before we have to cross that bridge over from loss to grieving.
Absolutely.
I think that's important.
Absolutely. And then this is something for those people that are in the support aspect, okay? Mental health does not necessarily have a look, so we need to work past our eyes, okay? And the reason why I say that is because physically, if you have a pain, if there's a pain in your knee, when it gets to a certain point, you're going to limp. You may hold it. You may walk a certain way, and your support team is going to look at you and say, hey, why are you walking like that? What are you doing? What's going on? And so they were able to visually assess that something is wrong, all right? When it comes to mental health, it is not necessarily obvious. And so don't assume because you just saw that person yesterday that they're okay. Don't assume that. Don't assume because they made some slight changes, but they looked all right. Look past your eyes. Did they feel all right? Was their language the same? Were they speaking in a negative tone when they should be speaking in a positive tone? You know, these are the types of things that we as a support system need to be looking at and going and assessing. You know, and another, I just got to say it, and I love to text people. I'm a text queen. But sometimes you get to hear somebody's voice, okay? That someone can text, oh, everything's fine, fantastic, smiley heart. And that's not true. But if you were to call them and to hear the voice and to hear and feel the vibration, that gives you the opportunity to use some more of your senses to assess them and to be able to say, I know when my sister sounds like, and that's not what she sounds like. She's not, that's not where she should be in this healing process. And so, you know, I encourage people, you know, those of us that are support, those of us that have made the commitment and said, look, I'm going to be your support team. I'm going to watch for you. I'm going to make prayers for you. That also means pick up a phone and call the person and insist on speaking to them. And that is going to help you to make further assessments into their health and into their ability and where they are in their process.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, even little things like a change in eating habits. You know, mm-hmm. this person is not eating anything, or this person uh-huh. is drinking. That may not be something right. that will come through in a text.
Exactly.
This person is isolating. They could have stayed in the house for 3 weeks straight, not going outside, not bathed, or not anything. That will not come
yeah.
through in a text. So sometimes even talking with them on the telephone, they can disguise exactly where they're at. So like the old folks
mm-hmm.
say, I just had to lay my eyes on you.
Yeah.
That means I had to see you with my own two eyes to make sure
right.
you were okay. I had a girlfriend that had an issue a couple of months ago, and I just had to go and see her. I had to lay
mm-hmm.
my eyes on her because I knew if I called her, she even on the telephone, if I had called her, hey, I'm doing fine, everything is good,
mm-hmm.
when everything really
mm-hmm.
wasn't good. So I had to lay my eyes on her and confront some stuff with her. So
yes,
a right. lot of times, you know, as a part of someone's support system, you have to go
mm-hmm.
the extra mile. The texting is not always going to work. You know,
no.
I got to hear your voice, or I got to lay
that's
my
right.
eyes on you. So that's very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all in
yeah,
somebody's support group.
Yes,
we're all
we
in
are.
Somebody's corner. Somebody
yeah.
is depending on you.
Being on this phone line, I know you are somebody's support team. Just
mm-hmm.
the fact that you are on this phone call, the fact that you are listening, the fact that you're taking time out of your day means there is someone that needs you to know this for future references.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, there are no accidents.
Oh. No. Oh, I am a living testimony of that.
mm-hmm.
Just last week, I had to relearn a lesson that we just spoke about. You know, it is 100%.
Mm-hmm.
We are actively learning. Actively.
Mm-hmm.
Learning.
Mm-hmm.
We are at my favorite part of the show, where we're going to bring in our prayer warrior. This particular week, I'm going to go ahead and read the footsteps. That I mentioned when speaking about loss and grief. But, Mom Khadija, you said you wanted to share before we get into our footsteps.
Oh, yes. I just wanted to share
mm-hmm.
some great news with the listening audience. I have been actively working with Ritual in America, which is a documentary that I have been working on, Seven and several people that are probably on this call, about different rituals that made it here through the transatlantic slave trade that we are still practicing today. So we have a trailer that's out
We have a Facebook page, Ritual in America Documentary. It is awesome. The colors are awesome. The narrative is beautiful. Just watching the ritual is absolutely breathtaking to me. So I invite everyone to go on that Facebook page, Ritual in America Documentary. We're also on YouTube, Ritual in America Documentary. Leave comments, like the page, ask questions, whatever. I just wanted to share that with the audience. That was like really, really good news for me this week, and I hope
Amen.
You enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you, being one of the healers there, it was fantastic, phenomenal, amazing. And I never get a chance to look at myself working, because when I'm working, I'm zoned. I am grinding. And to sit back and to see it was so beautiful. It was beautiful. It was breathtaking. And, you know, I was very thankful. It was so tactfully done. I cannot speak highly enough about the project. I'm just, I feel very blessed to have been able to participate, and now I get to share this. It gets shared with everyone what ritual looks like. You know, we work forever, all my life, all Mama Khadija's life. We've been working and building and learning, and to see all of that, you know, with your eyes, it is amazing. And I really encourage everyone, view it once, view it twice, however many times. But, you know, really look at just the beauty of spirit when allowed to be beautiful, when respected, when done in a educational light. All of that is just so very important. So, it was a victory. It was a victory for all involved. The land afterwards was blessed. Everything about this project has been a blessing for all aspects of it. And there are quite a few moving pieces to it. You know, it was not an easy task, but it was a blessed one.
Mm-hmm.
And blessings we have yet to even know, because it's so new. This is something that I can see being a part of who I am, you know, well into, you know, as I continue on in the many years of working with people spiritually, I cannot wait to be able to, people will pull this up as one of the first filming of myself. And I'm like, you know, it's just amazing. It's amazing. I'm very pleased and honored to have that as a part of who I am to be. So, yeah. It was definitely a victory.
Okay. All right.
It's definitely a victory. Okay. And on to, in the end, such a great, wonderful show with this footprint. The first time I saw this, I remember being maybe 8 or 9, and it was in my Mommy Neal's home. And this is an ancestor who has meant so much to me when I was living in when she was living, and then even when she transitioned, her energy and her spirit is still very strong in my life, as an influence in my life. And so whenever I get in my own way, because that's the only person who's in my way, as I get in my own way every now and again, I have to remember this right here. So it goes, one night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were 2 sets of footprints. Other times there was 1 only. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could only see 1 set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there was only 1 set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you most, have you not been there for me?" And the Lord replied, the years when you only see one set of footprints, my child, is when I carried you. So that's all I can say on that. Amen.
I
thank you all for your time and energy. Amen.
Amen.